Hello and welcome in to the Disrupt Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Reams, and today I'm joined by an Evo World Champion, a Bud Light Esports All-Star. He's been called a Marvel God and is a mainstay in Street Fighter V tournaments as a signature Dhalsim. He's Ryan Filipino Champ Ramirez. How are you doing today, my man?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Typical day for me, you know, work on my content, you know, like I do a lot of calls, so I'm glad I could be part of this one, you know?
We're glad to have you. Glad to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, dude. I mean, same here. I'm really happy to be part of this.
So we're going to be talking about some of Ryan's experiences growing up, how he first got into the fighting game community. We're going to talk about WWE and why the fighting game community has these heels and heroes in a way very similar to WWE, to pro wrestling, and how Ryan actually did a flip from a villain originally to now more of a hero type, and why it's so prevalent in the fighting game community versus the rest of esports. And then we'll be talking about some of his really unique experiences, some of the stuff he's seen and he's done over his career. But first, the first thing I want to talk to you about is how you came growing up. What was the first tournament to enter? What was the first fighting game you played, actually?
Well, my first fighting game that I've seen was, like, Super Turbo or something. Like, Street Fighter 2, Super Turbo.
Yeah.
It was, like, I believe I was, like, around 10 years old. And my cousin took me to this LAN center in the Philippines, actually. It was there. And he took me there, and I saw the Street Fighter 2, and I was like, man, this is kind of cool. And, you know, I got to play with my cousin, yada, yada. But then, you know, I went back playing StarCraft after that. But then my first initial fighting game that I actually felt like I competed, it was the first tournament I entered, was Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And that was around 2007 in NorCal Regionals in Sunnyvale, Golfland. That's my very first tournament. But I was playing fighting games with my friends around like 2007 early on. So they told me, like, hey, man, you should enter this major. You know, it's in NorCal anyways. You know, you're here, so you should enter. But like, I was like, oh, man, I don't think I'm that experienced or that good to enter like a major, you know. But so I'm like, hey, you should enter, dude. It's all good. You know, you're pretty good already.
Yeah, like, so how'd it go?
So my very first tournament, I got second place in a major. So I was able to beat the
That's
number
pretty good.
Two in the world at that time was Chungsta. He was like, he just got second at Evo, only losing to Justin Wong. But then I ended up playing him in the tournament like around top 32 or something. Then I beat him. Then I beat everybody else. Then I lost to my training partner, Krizzle, and I ended up getting second at the NorCal Regionals out of like 200 people. And it was like, what? So I was like, damn, that's kind of weird, you know? So I entered as Ryan Ramirez, but then everybody called me Filipino Champ at that time because, you know, I was the only Filipino in my group of friends. My group of friends are very diverse. You know, we have almost every race, and, you know, so they called me Filipino Champ. So I was named that, but then, you know, it was because it was so strange for somebody to enter a tournament for the first time and get second, you know. So, you know, I got my first taste in that. But then after that, I retired. I didn't want to play. Because I didn't want to play like that. I was busy playing Warcraft 3. And then I entered, my next tournament was Evo 2009 when I got ninth at the World Finals, my first Evo. I got ninth place. I was like, damn, I actually do good for like playing this very, very part-time, for playing this like twice a month, you know?
You play so this game like part-time and you're just finishing above people who are grinding it 10 hours a day. You're just
it
like...
was so strange to me, you know? So I was like, maybe I should just quit RTS and focus on this, because I like fighting games because it's more personal, it's more social, and I, instead of like playing on a keyboard at home and always dealing online and stuff, I could do this offline and hang out with, like, you know, my friends, etc. So I did. And so I transitioned. And I started playing really hardcore 2009, 2010. And there's this guy named Daigo who was, like, you know, who was just, I mean, he was just the god of fighting games. And there was no American who has ever won an international event for over, like, 12 years at that time. 8 or 12 years, somewhere around between like that.
A long time.
I go, huh?
A long time.
Yeah, a very long time, for sure. And then so it was a big deal. And it was like in NorCal, in SoCal regionals, there was it was a $10,000 tournament, you know, so it was pretty big at that time, 2010, for fighting games. And it was me versus Daigo, but I ended up having to beat Ricky Ortiz, which is an absolute legend. And I ended up beating Daigo, Justin Wong. Mm-hmm. Then I ended up beating Daigo twice. And that was the start of everything, 2010. And they were like, what the hell? Where did this kid come from, you know? So I ended up winning that and being the first American to do so. And from that on, you know, I just never look back, you know? So I've won about over 200 tournaments, won about over 500, you know, local monthly tournaments. So, you know, I've done pretty well in my tournament career, you know? So,
yeah, I can only imagine the crowd reaction when you were coming up through that, when they're like, who is this guy? And you know how much
I was just talking smack the entire time, because I knew, because since I came from RTS, I knew that personal branding is important. I knew that in order for you to stand out, you need to have something else aside from just being great in fighting games. So I knew that I needed to create a persona, because my friends knew that I'm really, really sweet and nice, and I can't even kill an ant. I feel so bad, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't do that, you know? Like, I love animals, et cetera, you know? So, but it's like, you know what? There's so many heroes in this community. I needed to be the villain, plus I beat Daigo. So I'm going to talk a lot of smack about Daigo, talk about a lot of smack about this, which I did, and that gained me a lot more popularity, you know, aside from just winning tournaments or placing high in tournaments. So that worked out a lot well. And if I could go back in time, I would still do that all over again. And, you know, that kind of worked out. I was one of the first fighting gamers to get sponsored. I was the very first fighting game pro to stream on Twitch as well. And so it was kind of cool, like, to do all of that stuff, you know. So now, like, looking back, like, damn, I'm still doing this stuff. It's kind of cool, you know. And I never really thought that I would do anything else aside from, like, being part of the esports industry, you know. So this is what I was born to do. I feel like I'm just a natural when it comes to, like, content, competing, you know, anything video game related, you know. This is just my calling. So
it takes a content mind to see that the esports landscape, be like, there's a bunch of heroes. What's going to play for the audience is a villain. Mm-hmm. People love to hate somebody.
For sure.
It's really interesting. It takes, like, that content perspective to see the landscape and be like, oh, there's a bunch of heroes out here. A villain's going to play really well. And that's something that's very common in the fighting game community. There's a lot more drama. There's a lot more trash talk. People playing up those hero and villain roles a lot more. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it has something to do with, since fighting games are, like, solo, you don't have a teammate. Mm.
That's a good point.
The personality would get, you know, would actually be a lot more prevalent compared to if it's a team game, then your personality is like just a fifth of your overall value because you're attached to your team, right? So now it becomes like a 1v1, kind of like a fighting, like, you know, kind of like boxing, etc., or WWE. In WWE, you see how, like, all the top WWE athletes, you could see how, like, their personality just stands out. And there's, like, even though some of them are, like, villains and stuff, they still bring in all the crowd going, you know, they still bring the seats, you know, bring all the views, etc. So I was like, man, this is how it is in fighting games, guys. You know, people cheer for Daigo and Justin, but then at one point Justin Wong was the villain, but he didn't really want him to be a villain. It's just, like, because he's running into Daigo, you know. Justin Wong's an absolute legend. He's like my big brother, man. I look up to Justin Wong, you know. So it's like, I need to be a villain. I need to accept that I'll be the first one, you know. So everybody was booing me. And it was like, I went to the Evo stage and everybody was booing me. Like, can you imagine, like, 20,000 people booing me? And I stand up and I was like, come on, bring it to me. Come on, keep booing. I love it, you know? And I was doing it and everybody just absolutely hated me. And it was, like, so good. because, you know, everybody wanted to see me lose or want to watch me play just to see me fail. And it was just like, you know, there's sure I've failed a few times, but I've succeeded a lot more times than I've failed. And it was just awesome. Even the times that I failed, I've generated a lot of views and interest regardless. So it was still a win to me. So, you know, it took a while for the fans to understand what I was doing. Because at one point, they absolutely hated me personally. They super like, oh, you know, we're going to beat your ass, yada, yada. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe these guys are crazy like that.
It's not that serious. Yeah, it's just like we're playing.
Yeah, and it took them a while, but then they've been seeing me throughout the years. They're like, oh, dude, yeah, Champ is really cool. He's not really like that, you know, until they absolutely meet me. And that's the time that they understood, you know. I told, and then now the next generation started copying that, you know, that format, you know. Or learn from it in a sense, and now there's like new age villains, you know, yada yada.
Yeah.
And I did change my persona in 2016 because, you know, I did a meet and greet at Evo 2016 at the Geico booth. It's supposed to be an hour, but I end up staying there for like 4 hours.
Wow!
Because the line was like 2 hour lines just to get to me, you know, because an Evo finals, right? And the great majority of fans was like kids. We were like 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old. And I was just like, what? And then I started to realize, like, wait a minute. Well, in my time, you know, I did watch a few TVs. I looked up to these guys, you know. But to their generation now, they don't watch TV. They just watch Twitch and YouTube. So now the streamers or the pro gamers are their people that they look up to now. Right, so it's like, I needed to change. I needed to, like, not be this villain. Because, you know, these 9-year-old kids would not be thinking that I'm doing this based on just generating views, etc. You know, they would think it's okay. Well, FChamp's doing it, so maybe it's okay to talk a lot of this, Mac, right? So I changed. I did change it. Like, so, you know, because I felt bad. Like, I did not want to be a bad ambassador. Because at the end of the day, I wanted to be a good ambassador for the fighting game community. And for the esports world, and I want to encourage people, like, you know, to get into this scene, right? So,
and you're right, and especially for parents as well, getting kids into esports, it's like you need those positive role models. And like you said, it's all about building content. At one point, that heel was great when the community was very private. Mm-hmm. I would say it was the fighting game community was very tight knit. And now it's expanding. Esports has gone to this massive global scale with, like you said, people growing up on Twitch, watching people online. So yeah, I think you do have a little bit. It's not every person's not, they're not responsible to be a role model, but it's good that you have taken that initiative and are like, I am an influencer for these people.
Yeah. And then, you know, I did like, I still progress as an influencer. I did like a few things with Bud Light. I was able to hang out with George St. Pierre and Deion Sanders. I did a press conference in Toronto for Bud Light, the entire thing. And it was kind of cool, you know.
GSP in primetime? That's a good good couple
crazy.
Guys.
It was really crazy. Yeah, I got to play with them. Primetime was just absolutely amazing. I was really shy, obviously, because I see him walking. And then we were sharing the green room together with Justin Wong, et cetera, GSP. I was like, man, this is kind of weird to be part of these guys. You have to be in the same room with them, you know? And then he approached me and Justin Wong, and he said, I just want to let you guys know that you guys are real. Like, I've seen your work ethic. You know, it's just the same work ethic that I put into my craft. And, you know, I respect what you guys do. It's definitely a lot of dedication, and I totally, you guys are real. And the moment he said, I was like, wow. I felt really bad. It's like, man, because, you know, we're esports athletes, but we're not real athletes like, you know, like those guys, you know.
Not physical athletes, is what I would say. Huh. You're not physical athletes. You're esports athletes.
Yes, yes. It's totally different, but, like, I'm not saying, like, you know, but it's just different, right? Because, you know, he goes out there and does it all physically, you know, meanwhile we're playing chess, right?
Yeah.
So, and so I felt really, like, you know, intimidated at start, but man, he broke the ice for us, and I was like, man, I respect this guy a lot more because, you know, he's so humble, he's so amazing, such an amazing ambassador for sports in general. It doesn't have to be football, just sports in general, you know, and And I was just like, man, this is somebody that I can see, like, you know, looking up to forever and hopefully someday being on his level, you know?
You know what I would love? I would absolutely love if every time there's mainstream news outlet covers esports, the comment section's always filled with, those aren't sports. Why would people watch people play video games? I want to watch a TV episode where you take a room full of those commenters and then you have people like Deion Sanders and Rick Fox, the president of the owner of Echo Fox, and you bring in those ex-athletes who vouch for the work you put in. I would just love to see those fat old sports fans like critiquing esports just get shut down by ex-athletes. That's a show I would pay so much money to watch.
Yeah, they also, I met Shaq, obviously.
Exactly, and there's so many.
Shaq owns the team, and it's just amazing, dude. And GSP, who's just absolute monster in and out of the cage, is just amazing, too. So, you know, just to be part of all this stuff, and I felt like I did an amazing, I think I had a very amazing time with my career that, you know, that when I look back someday, like 10 years from now, I'd be like, man, I think I did pretty good. And, you know, even if I stop now, I'm not stopping anytime soon, but I'm saying if I stop now, but like, man, I did pretty good for myself.
Okay, I got a question for you. This might take a second, but I want you to do a list. You've name dropped a couple people, which I love. I love to hear you've met. Could you give me the top five? Maybe it's coolest people you've met. Maybe it's the people who are most important to you that you've met. I'm looking for maybe people like Deion Sanders. I know you met Lupe Fiasco at one event. Mm. Do you have a top five of like celebrity encounters?
Oh, celebrity. Okay, let's see. I got a pretty good one. Let me type it in here so I can see it for myself visually. Let's see.
Take your time. Take your time.
So, I would say Deion Sanders is up there. He might be number one.
I feel like he almost has to be. He's a Heisman winner, two-sport athlete.
Number
like,
one for sure. Then GSP, he got to play Street Fighter with me. He's really cool. Really nice guy. Xavier Wood.
Mm.
WWE superstar, you know.
WWE?
Let me see.
Did you talk to those guys in the WWE about being a heel and, like, sort of doing a heel switch? Heel switch. A heel being a villain in WWE terms for listeners who aren't familiar.
No, I was really a villain during our show.
Oh, were you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, dude, it was great. And, yeah, and then we still won, too. That was, like, really cool. So, Xavier Woods, top three, GSP, Deion Sanders. I didn't meet Kobe Bryant, but he is definitely the guy that inspired me. You know, it was my Michael Jordan, dude. Kobe Bryant, man.
Kobe's the god. Afro Kobe, number 8 Kobe or number 24 Kobe?
Both Kobe, dude. Both Kobe. Of them, dude. So I would say, even though I haven't met Kobe Bryant, but I felt like he was there with me all the way through, dude. So Kobe Bryant. I see, I met a lot of these guys. And I would say Shaq, man.
Oh. The Big Diesel. It's gotta be.
Yeah, it is. Shaq. Yeah, so that's my list. Deion Sanders, GSP, Xavier Woods, Kobe Bryant, and Shaq.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that on the fly. I didn't even ask you that prior, which is normally if I want people to do a list, I would like give them a heads up. But no, I was just like, hey.
No. All my interviews has been impromptu. It's always been impromptu, man. That's been my... I love doing interviews and anything content-wise, so...
You really come... Yeah. What's... You mentioned this. We were talking a little bit before, but content is... so key. Content is king is a constant phrase that's heard. Why? What advice would you give to young up and comers trying to build their Twitch or their YouTube? How did you do it?
I would tell them, like, you know, they don't have to focus on particularly like a YouTube or Twitch or, you know, the social media, but to always put an extra afterthought after. To everything that they're doing. Like, for instance, like, you know, if they're going to do, let's say, they're going to go out to an event, like, say, Evo, you know, or like a major event, you know, take your time to, you know, when the fans approaches you or talks to you, take take a minute to actually talk to them, ask their name, try to remember their name. You know, that you would put a mark into their experience. And now they will forever be your fan, and now you have a for sure eyeball on you because, you know, you actually took the time compared to a lot of people out there that they don't take their time, you know, just like, oh, take a picture and that's it. You know, I think, you know, what's like 20 seconds of conversation, you know?
That's great advice.
Make their experience worthwhile. Like, you know, so, you know, you set an impression towards them like, hey, you know, I met this guy, F-Champ, you know, he was actually pretty cool. He actually talked to me, asked me about my game, yada, yada, did I make it out? What happened? What character did I play? You know, where I was from. You know, I got so many people coming for the very first time and, you know, come to me like, hey, man, this is my very first fighting game event. You know, I was watching your stream. You told me, like, that event is dope, so I decided to come. So this is my first event, man. Thank you for, like, letting me know that, you know, like, to go and check out a fighting game. And then I tell them, like, so, but since they told me it's your first time, I do put an extra work on it. Like, I'll be like, so, you know, where you're from? So, you know, what games you play? You know, I ask them, I really talk to them as a person like that. Who did you come with? You know what? You can get a cheaper flight if you do this. Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk to them as a person, like, you know, personal conversation, you know? Make sure that, you know, I'm within reach. I'm not somebody that they can't reach, right? You know, so I want to make sure so if they can talk to me as a person, they would feel like this is their dreams of aspiring to be a pro. It's beyond, it's definitely within their reach. It's not something that's very far-fetched, you know, so.
Definitely.
I do take my time. And with that, making that as your habit, to actually, you know, put in extra time, extra work on these little things, to, you know, talk about a little bit more in your interviews, doing extra stuff, like, you know, show a little bit more of your personality when you do your streams, or, you know, when you tweet out, like, put some thought into it. Like, all these little things, they all add up in the end, that building your brand, you know? I mean, that's, like, the nitty-gritty that I'm talking about. I mean, sure, now that also applies when you do an interview or when you do a stream, when you do anything content related. Now, since people know about your personality because you're showing that every time you do something else, you're putting that extra work, right? Now everything becomes easier. Everything becomes natural. Now when you do a vlog or you do an interview, you do a stream, everything's just natural. When it's natural, you don't have to think about it anymore. Everything just comes through, right?
And so, it doesn't feel... That's my advice. If you do a decent interview and you do an interview, hopefully that I'm doing now, where it's just, we're just having a conversation and it's not like a stressful environment, really. It's just, we just talking. It's really interesting. I'm glad that you're bringing that humanity. I think people have a tendency, and this happens in pro sports as well, to not see athletes as people and to put them on a pedestal, to see them as these like holier than thou figures. And by talking to them, like what you said about flights, about like food nearby, those small things in humanity.
Those matter for sure. Those matter, dude. I had fans coming to me and actually in tears. Like, oh man, I've been watching you for so many years. I got people who flew from all the way from the other side of the world come see me. They're like, you can see the amount of emotions or happiness they have. That's not my time for me to be like, oh yeah, man, I gotta go. I gotta make sure I make it worth, you know, their while. Like, hey, you know, the fact that they are showing so much emotions or gratitude that they're so happy to see me, and like, I gotta at least bring that back and at least match it, right? I know at Evo it's very difficult. Like, I can't even like, so I've seen it change throughout the years, like through my rookie years all the way through. You know, one Evo, then every year after that was just gotten crazier and crazier. Like last year at Evo, I couldn't even like leave my room because like from my room to walk into the ballroom, which is like usually a 15-minute walk, it takes me about an hour. The amount of stops I have to do, the amount of pictures, the amount of like interviews or like, you know, like all these selfies with them, you know, it takes a long time. So, but I really take my time and do it. I don't like to say no. Because that's all part of the thing, right? But then, so what I do is like, man, I don't like saying no. You know what? I'm not going to go down. I'm just going to go down to like when I'm about to play because I've done a lot already.
Maybe you have to do the celebrity thing with the sunglasses and the ball cap pulled down.
That That's why I have my glasses. Sometimes I even wear my headset, even though sometimes there's nothing on. So I just want to do it because I don't want to be bothered because I'm about to play, right? So when you're about to play, you want to get to that. You want to, get that killer instinct out of you, right? But then, when you're trying to harness your killer instinct, you can't be nice like that and talk to a lot of fans because it will conflict to that, you know? Because when you have your killer instinct mode on, you're like, your tenacity levels are really high. You just want to, wreck people and stuff.
Yeah, you're built up on adrenaline, on emotion. That's how you fight.
Yeah, it's not the time for me to have conversations. But I don't want to, be rude to the fans. The people want to talk to me. Right, so it's like I'm gonna just do this you know.
You should have like a bot, you know, when a fighter enters, they've got the robot and they got the bodyguards. When you're going down for a fight, you should just walk through the lobby with a couple people on your side, the hood down.
It'll be like unreachable. I don't want to be like that. You're not. I want to be like somebody they could relate to and talk to.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, when you're exactly walking to a fight, and that's the only time you do it, is you just it's like, all right, now he's going. Just trying to think of some solutions for you.
Yeah, that was the best time for me.
So, what's next for you coming up? You recently moved off from Splice and you're independent right now, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's Well, first of all, why did you feel it's the time to move off from Splice?
Oh no. So me and Splice had a mutual agreement on we were gonna move. They wanted to move out of fighting games. But I still want to focus on competing and half influencer. But I felt like they wanted me to focus a lot more in influencing.
Mm.
But then, it's a perfect time for me to enjoy my free agency, right? So it's like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy my free agency in a sense. So, it's very mutual. Never burned random bridges with them. I still love them. We still talk. And those are amazing people I work with. I work with a lot of different companies and orgs. And all the time, it's been absolute bomb experience for me. So right now I'm still talking to multiple teams, and it's no rush for me. Mm-hmm. My next event would probably be E-League and Evo. Those big events. So I was invited to be one of the 24 pros to be in E-League TV show tournament, right, for TVS. So I'm part of it. So I'm kind of gearing towards that. So that's what's next for me.
Awesome. That's awesome. So one other thing I came across. So your huge two main games for you are the Marvel series, not games, but and the Street Fighter series. Mm-hmm. That's the vast majority of your competitive experience.
Absolutely.
Comes in those two.
Absolutely.
So we were both too young for this, but in 1997 there was the Marvel vs. Street Fighter crossover. And I know there's trademark issues and stuff now. How hyped would you be if that game came out now, a re-release?
Dude, Marvel vs. Street Fighter was my favorite.
Was version. It?
Yeah, before the Marvel vs. Capcom 3, that was the game that I really, really loved because I got smarter as a fighting gamer than I played it. I was like, man, this game is so much more fun. So I really played that. I played Omega Red and Wolverine. I played Silver Spider-Man. I really loved that game. So I would be really, really hyped,
So is that the game that sort of colored your career? You were like, I love Street Fighter and I love Marvel, and that was the game?
Yeah, that would have been the best. That was the best, That's why Marvel vs. Capcom was the perfect game for me, et cetera, I would definitely kill for that, for a dev-supported Marvel vs. Capcom series, I've started to gear towards, I played this fighting game called Rising Thunder, And it's it's the game that the Evo founders created. It's like a fighting game on PC, and they sold it to Riot. So now I believe all the rumors out there that Riot is making a new fighting game, and it should come out maybe next year. So, but I'm the best at that game. I've won almost every tournament for that, so I'm kind of geared towards that. So that's gonna be my ninja moment, because Ninja played all the shooters.
Yeah, huge Halo pro.
And then now he, because we're both Bud Light All Stars, we're in the same class. and hang out with it. And then I remember Ninja, when Ninja's just Ninja, now he's Ninja Fortnite, like just absolutely monster, you know? So I was like, man, I'm just like, I'm waiting for that other game. I'm switching over to, if Riot makes a fighting game, I'm switching over to that, dropping everything else and playing that.
That's a smart decision. That's a smart decision. Riot's second game.
That's next year.
Their first title was okay. I thought it did all right in the esports world. This is a joke because it's League of Legends. It's Riot's other game, which I'm sure everybody knows.
League of Legends is like the game.
Yeah, the global behemoth of games.
Yeah, they're all right.
It's okay. You know, set the standard for modern esports, but that's about it.
Yeah, they don't really sell out all their arenas.
Everywhere, all over the world, no matter where.
Yeah, they own China, they own Korea.
That's really interesting. NA. I saw that the developers of League of Legends were going back to work on a new game, but I hadn't seen that it was a fighting game.
Well, they bought a fighting game team.
Oh, so, that's exciting.
So, yeah. That's I'm great. Just waiting on it.
Do you think also, it'll be an overhaul? Like, Fortnite was Battle Royale, which was started with H1Z1 and PUBG, but do you think it'll be in the same style as Street Fighter or something else, or do you think they're going to try and, like...
No, it's going to be like that, for sure.
Okay.
It's going to be like a fighting game. And I've heard rumors, some of the Capcom employees, they left Capcom, and they got hired by Blizzard Activision.
Oh, so Blizzard's doing one as well.
Well, that absolutely makes sense, because Blizzard has every genre, right?
Yeah.
The only genre they don't have is fighting games.
It's true. It's true. Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm.
They have a big lore of characters as well, so I'm kind of excited for that as well, you know?
Do you think the Riot version uses League of Legends characters, or...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
League of Legends characters, for sure. They have a big lore already, so that makes sense.
And does the Blizzard one use WoW characters?
They already fight already. Huh?
Does the Blizzard one use WoW characters?
Blizzard can use any character they want, because they have StarCraft characters, Hearthstone characters, StarCraft characters, Warcraft characters, like...
Yeah, you could have Winston go against, like, Gul'dan or something.
Characters. Just think about the Overwatch characters. The amount of characters you could do out of that.
Oh, man. Now I'm hyped. Yeah, almost every one of the Overwatch characters would work as a fighting game character. Like, it wouldn't even be that hard to adapt them.
If I have the rights, I could make a fighting game out of their lore. Like, that's how easy it is. I'm not saying, like, the actual production would be, like, but to create, like, a theory fighting game, it's quite easy. Because the amount of options they got, you know, they got a zoner, they got a big grappler character ready, you know, all the big, you know, they could do that.
They have
that.
Tracer, they have the quick, like, back and forth, like,
ability-based character, right, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's perfect. So to me, I was like, man, like, the sky's the limit right now, because I played RTS games, I played PC games, and I played fighting games. This is, like, perfect for me. Like, moving forward, next year is going to be my biggest year. So that's why I was not rushing into, like, signing, unless it's absolutely a deal that I want, right? So, you know.
Yeah. And you think it'll probably be, if you are dominant in those games, your worth as a signee will go up a lot.
Well, yeah. But, like, I wanted to be part of a team that has the resources to utilize my strengths. Like, you know, I want a team that would have the resources to utilize my content mind, right? I want to be able to create content. I want to be able to influence people to, you know, get into esports. Like, I want to be able to have a team with a big production team. You know, those are things that I look for. Not just the money-wise. Money-wise comes, it's kind of easy, right? Money-wise. But to be part of a team that actually has a big future when it comes to, has a big vision, has a good VP of content, you know?
Yeah, and you have really the luxury a little bit of being patient and knowing you're going to be in demand because of your past success. It's like, whether you go and look for a team now or you look for a team in 5-6 months, they're going to be out there wanting to sign you.
Yeah, and every, I would say every week, I have like at least a couple of teams that I talk to all the time. And so, you know, it's always been there. It's just like I needed to, you know, I'm in the point of my career that I wanted to have a bigger reach. I wanted to get more and more and more following, and I wanted to do more and more content in general so I can, you know, encourage people to get into esports, like more investors to get into esports. You know, this is not just for me, this is for like the next generation of gamers, you know?
I love it. Mm-hmm. So that's every question I have for you, Ryan. Is there anything you want to plug? Will you plug your Twitch and your Twitter, have people follow you, subscribe?
Oh, yeah, just, if you guys say, check me out on Twitter, @ChampRyan, and also check out my Twitch at FGTV Live, you know? So, you know, that's about it. I do stream, like, every Tuesdays and some weekdays. But, yeah, mostly everything's on my Twitter, you know, what I'm doing.
Awesome. Yeah. Catch him at E-League coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, it was
mid-June.
Yep, mid-June. It was an absolute pleasure talking with you.
Same here, man. You know, it was a blast, man, as always.
Thank you. Wish you all the best, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you so much.